Alright. It is 7:01 on Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. I hereby call this meeting of the Mayor and Council to order. Madam Clerk has met all the requirements of the Sunshine Laws and the Open Public Meeting Act. Thank you very much. You all please join me in a salute to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alright, roll call, please.
Councilman Wyatt.
Here.
Councilman Christensen is absent. Councilwoman Swetler.
Here.
Council President Strauss.
Here.
And Mayor White.
Here. Thank you very much. We'll open the floor to public comments. Are there any members of public who wish to make a comment? Nope. Seeing no movement, we will close the public comment session and we'll move on to the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the Township Mayor and Council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be separate discussion of these items unless requested by the Mayor, Council Member, or Citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. Are there any items anyone wishes to remove from?
It's not going to be the minutes only because I didn't receive them. We're going to look at them.
There is none.
There are none.
Oh, okay. Then that's good. I'm not voting for that because I didn't.
You're not the only one. I vote too.
Okay.
Very, very good. In that case, not hearing anybody from the floor either, may I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Glazer.
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetler.
Yes.
Council President Strauss.
Yes.
Mayor White.
Yes. Good. Next, I'd like to make some appointments. The first being an appointment that I can make on my own. Danielle Kearsley to the alternate number one seat that expires in December of next year. She's previously a member of the Environmental Commission, so if we could get her back. And they could certainly use some help there. I think that would be good. I would also like to nominate Ben Hunt to be appointed to the Open Space Committee. Mr. Hunt has helped with this call.
Sure.
He's a regular attendee of meetings and participates in the Open Space Committee meetings, so it's a natural progression, I think. Remember. So that one will need to be voted on by the council.
What's the meeting now?
I can help you out in 2 seconds. So he will be appointed to. Let's do it this way. You know what? I'm going to make this complicated and I apologize for this. So he's going to be appointed to the alternate number one seat.
Okay.
And that shall expire 12/31/23. And actually, what we're going to do, I think I need a motion for this as well, but we're going to take Mike Versa and we're going to move him from his 2-year term to a 1-year term. He's currently the chairman, but there is a category of member on the Open Space Committee that is for planning board member. So I will be appointing Mr. Versa this evening to the planning board. And Mr. Versa will then, if everyone agrees, be appointed.
But still chair.
But still, well,
that's
not up.
He needs to be here.
That's an elected position from the committee. But I think Mike will be an excellent addition to the planning board. So I will appoint him to the planning board.
As an alternate seat that is available on the planning board.
I will tell Kevin that I did this for the fucking room. So that will be to alternate seat number 2, expires next year, December. Will be also approved by the council, the open space member of the planning board member of the open space. So I would ask for a motion from the council to appoint Mr. Reversa to the open space committee as the planning board member. And also, hold on, before we begin, also to appoint Mr. Hunt, the open space and the alternate seat.
No, wait, are they all the same motion?
Just one.
Okay, so Amy's first?
Amy, then Captain.
So that's more of a meeting, you can appoint them as chair again?
Mm-hmm.
You can appoint them as chair again?
No, I'm still not.
Okay, so what?
We don't appoint them as chair, do we?
No, we don't appoint, the chair is elected.
Right. Okay, you are saying that we have to elect, in this case, okay.
And do roll call.
I think we should.
So, Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Lawrence?
Yes. And, I think that's all. More than enough.
And I say, before that, you appointed the planning board, so that's done too.
Correct, that's a mayoral appointment.
That's mayoral appointment, so that was actually handled before the motions.
Correct.
Got it, okay. Keep track of who's where.
Correct, so we're all together now.
Perfect.
Okay. Very quickly, I would like to just, given that we've recently undertaken to be a stigma-free community, I thought it appropriate, in talking to Council President Strauss, there is upcoming National Knockout Opioid Abuse Day on October 6th. Given the connection between the two, I thought it might be appropriate for us to recognize that day as such. So I would like to read this proclamation into the record. It is, whereas New Jersey is in the midst of a life-threatening opioid abuse epidemic, and whereas the Partnership for a Drug-Free New Jersey has designated October 6th, 2022 as Knockout Opioid Abuse Day, an initiative with a multiple purpose, with multiple purposes, to raise awareness of the potential for dependency on prescribed pain medication and its link to heroin and fentanyl use in our state, to reduce stigma of addiction and shine a light on the need for recovery support, and to communicate to physicians information on safer prescribing messages found in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines for prescribing opioids, which include considering other therapies, setting realistic treatment goals with patients, and discussing with patients the positives and negatives of opioids. And whereas the State Senate and General Assembly jointly resolved that October 6, 2022, shall be permanently designated as Knockout Opioid Abuse Day in New Jersey in order to raise awareness about the dangers of and the link between prescription opioid abuse and heroin addiction, and to educate healthcare providers, community leaders, state lawmakers, and members of the public about the opioid abuse epidemic and its effects throughout the state of New Jersey and across the country. And whereas the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton support initiatives designed to raise awareness about opioid abuse in New Jersey and take steps to prevent addiction. Therefore, be it resolved that October 6, 2022 be recognized as Knockout of Opioid Abuse Day in the Township of Clinton. And again, I think it's certainly an issue that we see frequently in the community and high school. The Fountain of Health is a common occurrence, I think, that the lieutenant in back would probably agree with me. So it's definitely an issue for the community, and the more we can raise awareness, the better. I don't believe this particular proclamation needs to be voted on, so we'll move on to something a lot more pleasing and happy. We're going to have a proclamation for a recently honored Eagle Scout. And I would like to read this proclamation into the record as well. Proclamation for Jason Strauss, Eagle Scout recipient. Whereas the Township of Clinton takes pride in its sense of community and citizen involvement, and whereas the vision of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare every eligible youth in America to become responsible, participating citizens and leaders who are guided by the Scout Oath and Law, and whereas the Boy Scouts of America encourage Eagle Scout candidates to complete worthy projects to improve their neighborhoods, their community, and the region, and whereas Jason Strauss is a member of Boy Scout Troop 288, and whereas Jason Strauss completed his Eagle Scout service project by mapping Knox boxes in Lebanon Borough into a system that almost all first responders utilize called I Am Responding, project helps first responders locate wall-mounted safes that only fire departments have access to in order to gain easy, non-forcible entry into businesses in the event of an emergency or where the owner is not present. The information in the I Am Responding system benefits not only the Lebanon Borough Fire Company, but will also benefit all mutual aid departments within the North 100 Fire Alliance, including the Township of Clinton's Division of Fire and Annandale Hose Company No. 1. And whereas Jason Strauss's persistent progress through the ranks to achieve this prestigious award demonstrates his determination to prepare himself for a meaningful, productive role in society. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Brian Lane, Mayor of Clinton Township, do hereby honor Jason Strauss of Boy Scout Troop 288 on his achievement of attaining the rank of Eagle Scout, the highest rank in Boy Scouts. And I would just like to acknowledge that young Mr. Strauss happens to be Council President Strauss's son. We're very happy to see this. As an Eagle Scout myself, I'm thrilled. I love to do these sorts of things, and just great work. Your work
is really going
to benefit the community for years, and make the community much safer. So. Now I'm going to make it come up here.
What a great project.
Having the fun stuff with it.
I further add that Jason has recently joined the Historic Preservation Commission as a member, and I hope you're enjoying it. I know that the commission was very happy to have you. So keep up the good work and keep contributing to the community. On that note, we'll move on to reports.
Another proclamation.
I did too.
Is there a third?
No, there's a third one on there.
Yeah, but I took it off.
No, it's not. We're going to try to do that another night when they're here.
Okay.
And if not, we'll just...
Yeah. So I have a longer report than usual, so I'll apologize in advance. First part's short. The Sewage Authority, next meeting is next Thursday, so no update from them. The regular monthly meeting is the 6th. The Finance Committee, we talked last time about that increase in the healthcare costs for the state. I haven't seen anything about any progress in Trenton yet, but I think the legislature might be meeting again soon, and I will hold out hope, but I'm not going to be very optimistic. I think it's a challenge we'll face the budget that all the employees will face as an increased cost, unfortunately. The longer part of my report will be on the Planning Board. We had a very lengthy meeting last Monday, the 19th. Three matters of business. There were two master plan consistent reviews, which we'll talk about later when we talk the ordinances, the dwelling definition and the stormwater definition. They were found not to be inconsistent with the master plan, but with recommendations on the stormwater one. We'll talk about that later. The bulk of the meeting was actually spent on the BOTEC capital review. So this has been the kind of long-pending construction of a new BOTEC campus on the North Campus. It's like a campus within the campus. It was about a two-hour capital review walk. I could say a lot about it, but I'll just try to cover the highlights. But if anyone wants to hear the gory details, you can listen to the recording. You know, go to the tape. Because it was pretty lengthy. We covered a lot of ground. In short, the campus on the existing campus would be a new 35,000 square foot building along Regional Road, just below the tennis courts, in the existing parking lot. Some new parking around that new building. It's 35,000 square feet total, 25,000 square foot footprint. And then a new parking lot being constructed on the other side of the access road, north of the pump station, adjacent to the softball fields. There are some schematics I could show people that are sort of interested. So it's about a 3-acre parcel within the north parcel that they'll be developing as this sub-campus. The existing access road that's mostly fenced off now, it's used for maintenance vehicles, would be opened up to provide access to the Votech campus. They're taking away 80-odd parking spaces, but giving back 70-odd parking spaces. So that's sort of equal. But of course, they're saying when it's fully enrolled, they'll have 6 new programs, which are great programs. They're really welcome in the township. There'll be about 660 students enrolled at Votech, but only 165 at any given time in the new building. The bulk of their day, 75% of their day, will be spent in the north building doing their academic programs. So they'll go back and forth, which is the idea of co-location. Their Votech students take their academics at North and going across. In a capital review, the planning board's role is actually kind of limited in this type of capital review because the Votech building itself is going to be looked at by other government agencies, the State Board of Ed. I think the county planning board looked at it. So our role as a township is somewhat limited versus a normal planning board, like review of site plans and all that. So what we basically do is we say, is it consistent with master plan? And it's a school, so it's pretty much by default, I mean, by definition, it's consistent. And then we can offer recommendations. We offer a scat of recommendations. The planning board, from a planning perspective, has some concern. We welcome the campus to the township. We think the programs are great, fantastic. From a planning perspective, we had some concerns, which took the bulk of the 2 hours. There'll be a letter issued, the draft has been issued, so I'm going from my notes and my memory. So if I get some things wrong, obviously the tape and the letter will prevail. In the end, the planning board concluded that overall, the plan is consistent with the master plan. And the overall caveat was somewhat important because, again, we had a number of concerns about the proposal. We made a long number of recommendations, which we outlined in this letter. Among the concerns was the documentation we received was actually pretty sparse. There was no as-is plan, limited details of setbacks, the heights of mechanicals, elevations, and really no representation from the North District, who was the landlord on the site. So some of this impact was happening north. So there could be no real discussion of that. They could make some representation on behalf of the north, but they're not north. That was problematic. Some concerns about the aesthetics of the building. It's maybe a little bit modern, but I actually think it's sort of fine. It's airy, full of light. It's a double-story building, very open. So a little different than what North looks like now, for sure. It's relatively close to Regional Road. It's about 90-some-odd feet setback. Again, I didn't have a good site plan, so the exact setback, it kind of curves around a little bit.
From the curve,
about, and then sort of up on the hill because of the elevation there. In that zone, we normally require 100-foot setback, so it's a little closer, but we can't really prevent that. In that zone, it's a residential zone. The height would normally be 35 feet. This will be taller, in excess of 40 feet, maybe 40-some-odd. We don't know because they didn't tell us how high the mechanicals are, how high the vents are. They just didn't provide that information to us. Also concerns about the landscape buffers and screening, though I believe we made a recommendation that they're going to accept on that, I've heard. We had some concerns about security that they need to address. They plan to remove the fence along Regional Road. We're concerned about the traffic from the new entryway being so close to the existing entryway and the jug handle. We're really well addressed. They did address all bus traffic to the new campus will go to the normal North campus, so the buses won't be anything. There'll be nothing new from buses, maybe a few more. This will be vehicular traffic of their staff, about 20 staff members, and any students that drive to the campus themselves. Whole bunch of issues on, like, I'll call them health and safety, it's about their stormwater management plan. We've asked to report that to the DEP. We talked a bit about the traffic and parking. Although they're kind of adding the same amount of parking space, but there'll be more students on the campus in the long run. So obviously the question is where they're going to park, how will that be managed?
Any traffic study?
They They may have, it was not presented to the planning board because it was a capital review, so I can't answer this question.
Just a little hairy right there.
That's the point. We've raised them. One of our recommendations is to coordinate with the township police department and work on those very issues, particularly during, you know, normal school days, of course, but special events, football games, where it gets particularly hairy along Regional Road. So we'll issue, the planning board will issue a formal letter of recommendations. I think it's 8 or 10, which is actually a relatively long list of recommendations. That will be sent within the next few days. And the next meeting is on October 3rd. That was a long one. Sorry for the long report, but I wanted on the public record, I want you guys to sort of understand
what
we looked at. But again, exciting opportunity for the township. It's, these programs would be great. It's culinary, it's diesel, it's HVAC. I mean, really good programs, a really good opportunity for the county. We just, from a planning perspective, expressed some concerns. And I think the county and Votech will address them. Time will tell. I mean, they've got a budget like everyone else, so they have to manage a lot. Okay, and that's all I have.
Very good.
I'm like,
wow. Mine's normally boring.
Don't worry, it's not going to get any more interesting.
The Environmental Commission. August, we didn't meet because of lack of quorum, and then September was the 1 month that they take off in the summer, so we're a couple of months behind. Our next meeting is October 6th. We have Danielle to start. We're very excited. She actually grew up here. James' neighbor. Yeah, and she's very curious. Saw her resume, so I'm excited to have her. We're reviewing our current budget now and getting some ideas around what next year we want to do. So we're just starting that, but you know how December's going to be here tomorrow, so we'll get going on that. We wanted to maybe do another cleanup day somewhere, but again, we've been off 2 months, so we need to evaluate that. Help the clean communities as well. We ordered the environmental education signs, Exxon, Grant, and ANJAC together. It would take 8 weeks. I think I ordered, like I said, order it now 3 weeks ago, and it takes 8 weeks. So I had asked, and there was no extra charge for shipping or anything, if we could get the actual stands, and all you do is clip in the sign. So I'm worried about who's installing it, and I know I have my seasonal people for what? October, so if I can get them to install it, we can add the sign later.
We'll take a note to discuss it with the administrator who's sort of giving a thumbs up.
There's like eight, they're the educational signs you see at environment, you know.
So you need the posts, you need the posts installed.
Yes, the whole frame, and the signs will come in separate and we'll put them in.
Yeah, we will have to weigh it against Jay's ongoing.
Of course.
Work in the leaf collection that's coming.
No, of course, but then I was taking seasonal work.
Yeah, and he does have a lot more help now, so that'll...
Exactly.
If we can get it in the queue.
But that's exactly why I'm like, can we order them first with having the seasonal worker in mind, because this
and
is...
before the frost.
We have great volunteers, but this is a little out of our realm.
All right.
Sure, some volunteers. Okay. The Green Team. If you guys know, we had that wonderful... annual meeting and awards breakfast on Friday for the EV, the Green Fair and the EV Car Show. We got the Champion Award, Sustainable Hunterdon Champion Award. Brian was there.
From Bill Hunterdon.
From Bill Hunterdon.
Funded by the NJPP TPA and helps to promote accessibility and transportation issues.
Mm-hmm. It was really nice. They had a nice little presentation for everybody who got an award at a school, so it was a really nice day. And again, I want to thank Mario for really spearheading the EV part. So he's really did an excellent job. As a matter of fact, he brought the board home. I said, show your family. I'm like, are we going to get that? What do we do with this thing?
We'll find a place to hang.
I don't know what you do with this
thing. We need to find a place to hang.
Okay. Yeah. I just told him to take it home so it's going to be safe. Okay. Moving on.
I'll make a note of it. I had told him to get it to us. We'll find a nice place to hang it, probably in the township.
So we're still in the second round for certification. We should hear by October 7th. Mario made sure we had 20 extra points that we needed just to cover our bases. I think they really want to have us certified as a winner. So maybe October 7th, latest October 14th. And as I mentioned before, we're going to third round. But again, once we get this done, if you can sort of our workload, diminishes significantly. So we had our first green team, the first class that we're doing with the county at Windy Acres on the 17th. We had the principal naturalist of the county, Laura Bush. She's fantastic. She led the group, and it was a really nice day. Our next monthly hike, or it's actually a program, it's a skull workshop at Echo Hill. Animal skulls and whatnot.
And that's co-sponsored by us?
Yes. Yes, we're working together. Yeah. And we're going to try to continue to do that next year as well. I'm going to see how the attendance is. If we're not getting a large attendance, I might do it every other month versus every month. And seasonal worker installed all the birdhouses for me at Windy Acres. Okay, open space. August was our month off. Our next meeting's tomorrow. We're going to start budget discussions, things we might see in the future, how we're doing now. Again, the seasonal work is really helping us out as far as maintenance. They're doing a really good job, and from what I've seen, and it's just a little blown off. Disc golf, we're hoping for a soft opening in October. Soft opening, meaning here's some discs, throw them in a basket.
But not nine baskets.
No, all the baskets are soft.
I haven't been out.
Yeah, no, actually, Paul, he's a disc golf person. He's going to actually go check it out. People are actually, who are experienced and know what they're doing, are doing it. The only problem we're having is, you know, all the ash that we had taken down are still laying there, and beginners tend to not get in the basket, you know, when they're first learning, and we'll get frustrated because it's going to end up in all these ash trees that are falling over. So that's why probably the grand opening will probably be in the spring, because we'll have time to pick away volunteers to pick away ash. But all the baskets are there. The bridges, we just finished putting stairs in on Saturday, and when you journey this far, do it.
Oh my God.
Yes. So we're hoping for that. And the sign, the Crater Creek sign, this golf.
More signs?
Don't even. I've been talking about it, so. And the parking lot. We need that expanded by maybe 10 cars, and that's what we've discussed at Open Space. Mike spoke to Jay about it.
Okay.
So everyone knows it's coming.
But we'll need to make sure he's got budget and time and all.
Right. So, as I said, it's not a grand opening right now, so it doesn't have to be done right now, but it does have to be done.
So the expectation is between the disc golf traffic and the trail traffic, you just need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when Jay originally put that parking lot in, he was concerned about the setback of the turnaround from the highway.
Yeah.
He needed to be back a certain amount. Okay. So what we want to do is go straight. We're not going to go wider, we're going to go longer. Yeah. So,
I'm sure the high school will be close.
I know, right? They tend to, the football games.
It's overflow parking.
It's overflow parking. But, you know, in honesty, they've been very generous, and when we need an overflow, they allow us to use our property. So. Okay, forestry management plans. We've wanted this done since the spring. We want all our properties to have a forestry management plan. We have approved expenditure in the spring. So she completed Kramer's Creek already. We have not met with her. So that's Murphy and Caulfield, when I say Kramer's Creek. We're just calling it Kramer's Creek property. She's doing, I think it's Hackett's next, and then Prospect East. And after she has those three reports, we're going to meet her on site, and we're going to go over what she found, some ideas of what we're doing in the future for the health of the properties, and we'll be putting all these reports on the website underneath the property name. Hunting, Marupian, they had 4 doe and 1 buck, and I'm not surprised because it's loaded over there.
Yeah.
I'm very happy we had
Exxon's full.
You're not allowed to hunt there.
I'm just saying, the area's got lots.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. Hackett's got 1 doe, and Prospect East got 4. So there's not Windy and nothing at White Cloud yet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How long has it been open? Probably a couple weeks.
September 10th was opening day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and keep in mind, these people work full time, and their property is going out. Some of them are retired that I know of, but we have, with the educational signs with the Environmental Commission, we added on a sign for Beaverbrook Ravine. So that's going to be in this project. That's a custom sign, this one. The other ones are stock.
Yep.
And we did a nice presentation. You reviewed it. Thank you so much. The layout of it, the pictures, and explains everything about the ferns. So again, we want that installed. And I know, because I helped with the fencing around there, that's complete rock. It's complete rock. I don't have it. Let's do a park. So anyway, that's happening at the same time, same order. Okay, before I get into the ash tree thing, one thing I wanted to review is there was a situation where we had two very small events on the same property by two different people. So we set up a protocol that Brian agreed to and our administrator that say I'm liaison or chair of anything that we're having, say it's a scheduled hike or something like official for the township, to email Bill and copy Tom so Tom can...
Just so the office is aware of it.
Office is aware of it, and if there's some type of conflict that it's known...
They may not be able to police for conflict, but at least they'll know...
Well, like, for instance, well, in this situation, there was a hike and then there was hunting. So the hunting program wanted to know.
Right.
So
that's something
Tom could have, you know, if he had known. So, yeah. Little things like that. So, Mark, I meant to send you an email about that. So just like the chair or the liaison, if you're doing something, just shoot him an email. So you're historic, right?
Yeah.
You're historic.
I think I forwarded it, I copied you on it when I sent it.
I'm on three, so...
But I think I forwarded it to the chairman of the school.
Yes, Neil, you did, thank you.
But I copied you because you were asking for it.
Right.
You did both.
You can reinforce it.
I'm sorry, I wanted to...
But I didn't want to have three people on.
Anyway, okay, the ash trees. I definitely need some guidance on this, and we're going to be talking about that resolution about grant writing. I'm excited about it. I wonder if there are any ideas about grants for that.
I don't know that, I mean, we'll get to the grant thing, but I don't know that there are specific grants for that, but there may be
I haven't found any.
Grants.
Yeah.
Forestry Department portion?
No, I've
keep an eye out.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that a little bit more later.
So we've had a situation where at Windy Acres, there's about five large trees that are in the trail. And obviously there's a lot more than that, but they can just drop and not hurt anyone.
drop on their own.
Drop on their own, and they're in the middle of the woods, and so be it. And then there's two over at Kramer Street, or the 5K over there, regional, that are going into the trail and going to hit the kiosk on top of it. Prosecutors don't think there's anything. I think my boy volunteer said there might be then one, but it's not too serious yet. It's not at that stage yet. Hackett's, I'm not sure about. But Wendy and over here is concerned. Les did get a quote from a tree guy to just take those two trees down and just drop them. I mean, obviously all these, when we get to them, we'll just drop them. You don't have to get fancy. And that was, I think, about $800. So we're going to talk about that at open space. But, you know, we have to think about what we're going to do in the long term. These are large trees. These aren't something that people don't even go out and do.
Yeah, and we'll run it through the administrative office to Tom, but
yeah.
I would think that the maintenance budget from the open space fund is the most
probably
clearly maintenance of open space.
Right.
The requirement.
I'm sure that'll probably be voted on in a positive way tomorrow,
sure.
But down the road, is this something that we have to keep using open space fund for? I don't see any grants. So when we're budgeting for our open space,
we should
where to start.
But we should be selective, because it should only be those that are going to impact trails, not
Absolutely. So, yeah, I sent you the pictures of the ones that I'm talking about.
I have I'm even with Sam, but I think that should be taken down on the road.
But you had to have them removed, which is wrong.
Yeah, I had to have them over the power lines on the street.
It's
a problem. You just drive and you can see them all.
And, you know, what was his name that we hired for the Ashes at this girl? Scott Henry.
Yeah.
He did a phenomenal job. I sort of wish he continued, but we specifically hired him for just the baseball position of the ash trees. That's another thing I want to discuss, because he's very reasonable, he's very knowledgeable.
I guess it's a matter of timing also.
Yes.
Things are overhanging the kiosk.
I think that probably needs
just gotta,
They
do eventually just collapse. And branches fall. It's a mess.
We just had a storm, a pretty windy storm the other day. I mean, you know, I was in the acres of the storm. I actually had that first civil war arrow. So when we have these windstorms, it really makes you realize the amount that we're going to have to deal with. So I just wanted to bring that up because I did the report on it to you guys in the spring saying he's coming and it's coming and it's coming. I just would like to know.
Well, from the forestry report, talking about that now?
Probably.
Well, it'd be sort of interesting.
Well, what she did with the Weedy Acres forestry thing, which is great, she identified spots that we could work on. But there's invasive. I'm trying to do an invasive removal study in one section because she specified in her report that that's what we should be doing there. She didn't really specify anything about the ash trees in there. I'm meeting her with about the other three properties, so...
Oh, you said there's a guy you need to take her down?
Well, the first report that she's actually done writing, we just haven't seen it, is for Kramer's Creek, and that we saw the ash tree situation, so I'm sure she'll say something about it. It's Heather Gracie. She's really good. That's it.
Very good. Council President Strauss, you're up.
Okay.
Follow those two up, would you?
Yeah. I'll try. I'll tell Dallas. So, Clinton Township Board of Education, I do not have a report. However, the next meeting is Monday, October 17th, 7:30 at the middle school. Historical preservation, I gave their report last meeting and their next meeting is next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Public safety, I did speak with Chief DeRosa about staffing and hiring. I believe there's a new officer getting sworn in next week.
The third?
Yeah. That's Monday, right? And that was all on that, and did a great job on the officers getting recognized at the Crime Stoppers meeting for their efforts, the investigation, also Clinton Township sharing activities going on in Fountain Hotel. Fire Department, with the assistance of Jay and the administrator, moving forward with some plumbing and electrical work at both stations, that's being done. Some of it has been done by an outside contractor and some of it will be handled in-house by public works. EMS report this week from South Branch, they 337 calls in Clinton Township for the month of August. I'm sorry, total of 337 calls, 127 in Clinton Township. Average response time to scene is 5 minutes and 43 seconds, which is under the acceptable standards. They had 5 calls where people need to be extricated from their vehicles, 2 water rescues at Round Valley, and flew 4 patients to trauma centers by North Star, and drove an additional 12 trauma patients to trauma centers. 5 new members are in EMT training. Total calls so far in 2022, as of the end of August, are 3,116, which is a 9.5% increase over 2021. I wanted to make us aware that they're having a clearance loss in hybrids in front of their station there on October 8th from 9 to 1, and in the township at the intersection of Center Street and Route 173 on November 26th, 9 to 1. So I'll let the chief know as well. OEM, this Thursday, we have our LEMC Zoom meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And that's all I have.
Very good. Thank you much.
Great job on that
Fountain
Hotel thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so happy to see it. Really happy.
He's the last thing we did
for
that one.
Yeah. Great job by all. I'm so pleased to see that.
Moving right along. I will report briefly on the Recreation Committee. They have not met since our last meeting. However, we do have in the works and coming as a future attraction to our next meeting, introduction of an ordinance to enable the improvements to the Bunk Park playground. So we'll introduce the ordinance and schedule it as adoption and move on from there. So that should be a good thing. On the personnel side, the items that I can talk about, you'll see some of them are here. We have a new employee that we hope to hire in public works. And I can give you a little bit of the backstory there. Almost about a year ago, DPW Director Mike Sell said we'd really love to hire somebody who had HVAC experience and really preferably somebody with a black seal. And we posted it, we didn't find anybody. Well, we've had some postings recently for just a laborer position, and the administrator, acting administrator, close to Steve, they did as well, an application for seasonal for somebody who had HVAC experience. Historically had a black seal license. So credit to them, they jumped on it, and I think when we get to a that'll be a fantastic addition to Public Works. Everything much more efficient. Sounds like it'll be an excellent addition to the department. So I think that'll be a very, very good thing. Other items that you don't see here, we do have jobs posted for administrative assistant in the office. We have also now posted the notice for the replacement of the position that was vacated over the summer.
Okay.
We do have a position posted for the deputy court administrator as well. Now that we promoted Ms. Marino, we need to fill that position. So that's in the works. I met just recently with the neighbor at the old municipal building. Actually, both neighbors, so Mr. Schutz is aware of what's going to transpire, so we'll keep him in the loop as things progress. We do have the road vacation ordinance for introduction this evening. Very happy to see that. It's been too long. So that'll be a very positive development, and I'll provide the process going forward. Ideally would be we adopt the vacation, the road vacation. In parallel to that, Mr. Fernandez, the developer, will need to come back to the planning board, fix all the lines, get that approved, which should be fairly easy, and then submit those to the refile with the county clerk. So we'll have to resign all the plats. And then once that is all done, we can transfer the property. We're not putting dates in. Because that has not worked out for us. We also have the grant writer, so I'll talk about that a little bit more when the resolution comes up. And I also just wanted to commend the police department. In addition to the items that Council President Strauss noted, we did receive, at least I received, a note from a resident who had a prior experience with the police department with a mental health issue. And that happened some years ago, and they had another experience with the police department recently with this tumor, all right? And the resident noted a marked improvement in the level of training and responsiveness and how the department dealt with it. So really, it shows the importance of the training. It shows how great a department we've got that we were able to respond in that way. So, Lieutenant, if you wouldn't mind passing that along, I think that was, it's nice to get those kind of notes.
Yeah, nice ones. Yep. So,
I think that's all for me. With that said, we'll move on to public hearings. And the first is for an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Chapter 165, Land Use Regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton by modifying the definition of dwelling or dwelling unit set forth therein. Before I open the public hearing, this is an item that was brought to us by the Township's engineer. The Township's engineer felt...
Actually, the Board of Justice, right?
I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
No.
Yes, this was an item, thank you, Bill, for the catch. This was an item that was brought to us a few years ago by the Board of Adjustment. We have not had a definition for dwelling, and it has made their life a little bit difficult.
It was kind of a circular definition.
Yeah, it was fairly
really, it wasn't a very good one.
Yeah, it didn't give a lot. The new one does.
So any questions, comments?
No.
And I bought that
I think we talked about that in the introduction.
Well, I did want to just believe that.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yep. In the record, the report was actually provided.
And the report
not in this is
not in
not inconsistent with the master plan.
All right. At this point in time, I will open the public hearing. Are there any members of the public who'd like to come forward and comment on this ordinance? Okay. Seeing no movement, I shall close the public hearing and ask for a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switla.
Yes.
Council President Strauss.
Yes.
And Mayor Moore.
Yes. Now we have an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, modifying the stormwater management requirements for minor developments and amending Chapter 165 Land Use Regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton. I think I pulled a hitting, is what we would call it. This is an item that was brought to us by the Township's engineer. He felt that in many instances the current ordinance's requirements were a little bit burdensome to residents given the scope of their minor improvements.
Yeah.
So this will, ought to make it easier for the engineer to grant reasonable relief.
And it also reduces the requirements somewhat, the type of stone they can use and some of the technical aspects.
So, that said, any questions, comments on the part of council before I open the...
Do we need to talk about the planning board review?
Just to, yeah, before the public hearing is open, number one, place on the record that there is a report that the planning board submitted finding that it was not inconsistent, but recommending some modified...
They did. So this is where we talked about the record of information?
I think, yeah, because the public may want to have an opportunity.
That's fair. That's fair. So the planning board did make a recommendation to modify the language.
Do I have a button that I can read it?
Yeah.
Here. There's water. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I'll just read it. Finally, the board had the following recommended revisions to the proposed ordinance. And in item, or paragraph number four, it suggested that it read instead of what it currently reads, relief from requirements, the township engineer may reduce the infiltration measures required by subsection 165.229A, which eliminated or eliminate. Above, if in his or her professional judgment based on sound engineering principles and an eliminating reasonable cause exists to do so, if the reduction is de minimis. And there was a considerable amount of discussion about this at the planning board, and I don't know that this accurately reflects what was discussed or addresses the concerns that were raised.
And I don't think it does.
I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah. What I would suggest is...
Ask that.
Just let see if there's,
Any comment back, right, and then we can rediscuss. Oh, perfect. That makes sense.
So I shall open the public hearing. Are there any members of the public who might wish to come forward and speak on this ordinance? You said slowly to let somebody come forward. Nope. I'll close the public hearing, and now we'll begin that conversation, which is really, I think the crux of it is, are we happy with the way it was originally written, or do we feel that the planning board's recommended changes should be enacted, or do we feel we should take a step back and look at it further?
So there's two recommendations. I put them in two buckets. The first was a concern with the word eliminate in the original ordinance, saying that if there's a requirement, is it right to have to allow the engineer unilaterally to eliminate the requirement? So they were uncomfortable with the use of that word, and they thought it would pressurize, you will, the engineer. The water residents come and say, oh, but you can eliminate it. Please just eliminate it. And they thought that was...
It would put him in a tight spot.
It would put him in a tight spot. They also thought it might be just a little bit inappropriate. There was the longer discussion about the de minimis side of it, and the letter we got from the planning board is the letter, and I know it's been signed by the planning board secretary. My recollection was it had less to do with the changes being de minimis, but to the impact of the changes being de minimis. Kind of back to this point, he can reduce them, but kind of put some parameters around the reduction. My view on this, if I give my two cents, is I personally, I voted for the ESIP planning board, but now at council, upon further reflection, I personally would split the baby. I would accept the recommendation to take out the word eliminate, but I would not accept the de minimis language. I would leave that to the professional judgment of the engineer. We're saying he can reduce it within the constraints of the ordinance, and I don't want to tie his hands about how much to reduce it. It's like standing ahead of the pin and saying, is that de minimis? Is it not de minimis? If he thinks it can be reduced and it still controls the stormwater adequately, I think that's his job.
And I would propose that in the conversation, as I recalled it at the planning board, it was not a question about whether or not the reduction was de minimis.
Exactly. It was the impact.
It was the impact and whether the engineered outflow of the stormwater.
Right. Really. And I think we get that with professional judgment language already, because that's why we have a township engineer. So with everyone else,
I was going to say. Comments, thoughts?
Sitting it all in.
Yes, me too.
I would personally be okay with,
I was actually going to suggest that we just move ahead the way it was originally written, but I'd be already splitting the baby. Mm-hmm.
Trish, any concern from a legal point of view with those changes? Does it, do we have to reintroduce? Do we have to...
No, if all you're taking out is just the words or eliminate, I think it's fine. What the statute speaks to is if you make substantial changes in the substance, then you've got to basically put those amendments out and hold a further hearing on the amendments. But I think this is, you know, it's a substantive change, but I don't think it's such a magnitude. Well, here's how I, there's no legal definition of what that means.
Right.
What's a substantive change to a substance? The way I always approach it is it such that as you're sitting there hearing about the change for the first time, you can't figure out what it is, what the impact might be, is it something you should be upset about, not upset about? Whereas, is it a sufficiently small change or is the nature such that, yeah, okay, yep, you just explained it to me, I know whether I'm for it. I get it right now without having to think about all the implications. So I think just the explanation that you provided, just taking out those two little words, my legal opinion, I don't think that this means that you have to put it out there again.
And I'll add that in favor of this, reiterate what I said, claim for I, in my 2 years as mayor, have received no complaints about this particular issue, which tells me that they've all been borne by the mayor. And he's managed to deal with them deftly. But this, I think, will make his life better. And if there's an issue with it, he'll raise it.
I think what we want is a motion to
adopt this amendment.
Yeah, I mean you could just have a motion to take out the words or eliminate.
And then a secondary
motion. And then a motion to adopt with the amendment.
So I'll make a motion to eliminate the word, to remove the words
or eliminate,
and to adopt the amended.
Well, let's do that one first, and then we'll do this.
Oh, so it's
yeah.
We'll do
the
second. Right? So, do we have a second?
Yes.
So Bell has moved to remove or eliminate.
Okay. Oh, Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Councilman Fred Simmons Ross?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. And then we need a motion to adopt the ordinance as amended.
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance as amended.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Switlick? I mean, Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. We'll now move on to resolutions, of which we have a few. The first is, as I mentioned in my reports, a resolution approving the hiring of a seasonal public works employee, Walter Selecki. Anybody have any questions, comments? I think I covered it all before.
Some recommendations.
In that case, I'll make a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
Councilman
Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slovic?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Next, we have a resolution authorizing the Township of Clinton to enter into the New Jersey Cooperative Pricing Alliance. This is another co-op that we can take advantage of. It will also allow us, if we get to it for the grant writer, but I'm sure it will allow us access to other purchases as well. We've used the Morris County Co-op to great effect. So I think this is a pretty easy lift.
This is Bergen County, right?
This is Bergen County, bids, yeah. Questions, comments? Council? If not, may I have a motion?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slovak?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Next, we have a resolution authorizing a service agreement with Millennium Strategies for grant writing services. This grant writer is, as we mentioned, part of this co-op. The way that this grant writer works, and I did have a couple meetings with them and the acting administrator, they provide a weekly email update of new grants that are available, which they have analyzed, summarized, and also provide other important information like who won those grants, who was successful previously. Not in addition to the weekly email, the township will be able to access their full database of all those grants, sort, look for different categories, however. For that service, we pay a $650 a month fee. The nice thing is you can go and you can look and you can disqualify some. You can look at it and say, oh, this is interesting, but by the time you look and see who's recently been awarded it, you can realize that that really doesn't apply to us. And I think that with their expertise, we'll be able to take certain grants and go back to them and say, we'd like you to help us write this grant. And that would be, I think, a fee of about $130 an hour,
right,
if they would help to write the grants. But they would then say, well, you know, I understand what you're trying to do. That's not the right grant for me, but these two may be better fit.
Right.
So they'll have that level of expertise and knowledge. I think it will be a great benefit to us. We've had some struggles recently writing different grants, just getting them submitted, getting them written, getting them out for the fire department, for the police department, for all of our departments, in the playground that we can try to get some money for, safe streets, traffic, that sort of thing. Who knows? Who knows?
Just having resource help us identify the opportunities and help us craft our... Everyone has a full-time job, and writing a grant is now an addition. So it's good to have a resource. $130 an hour doesn't strike me as obscene for a specialist.
No.
And with that monthly fee, you said we'll have a listing.
Yeah.
Who will have access to that? A council person?
No, I would think, initially, I think at least the administrator, I will probably have it. And we can decide how to proceed.
Because, like, how would you know, unless I start on my report, I felt like what I'm looking for as to being liaison on environmental or open space. Like what projects you're working on that might interest us with the grant, like how would you know on the committee?
Yeah, procedurally we can talk about how to work that.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mr. Sylvia may have access. We'll have to see how that works, but he'll at least have information to pass along to the administrator as far as what we need.
So if environmental or open space we're working on, you know, we're thinking of building this.
Yeah.
We can just send an email, say,
is there anything?
Okay.
And this is all federal, state, this is all grants, or just?
Oh, everything. You're private.
Which is great. You can just bring all that together in one place is nice, because otherwise you're trying to find, digging.
I mean, there are a couple that the administrator brought to me that I have to go look at and take a look and see if it makes sense.
Right.
I think it'll be a net benefit.
I will admit I was a little confused on the attachments, but I understand your explanation better.
I know, me too. I called him today,
So it's a monthly retainer, $650, and then $130 per hour if we decide to go with their grant assistance.
I think within 6 months it'll pay for itself.
I agree. And I know other towns locally have done this. I think Town of Clinton did something relatively similar. I don't know if it was this company. I just remember reading that they did a grant.
And they've got a lot of experience and a lot of success and knowing how to craft it and who to speak to help.
Yeah.
Help it along.
Right. That's where they get money.
And if it doesn't work out, we can always stop.
Yeah, $650 a month is worth the experiment.
Money well spent.
Yeah, I'm actually a little excited about this.
Me too.
It's really something I think this township needs.
Mm-hmm. Good.
In that case, I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Clark.
Yes.
Councilwoman
Swiftly?
Yes.
Council
President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. Does anybody wish to move to pay the bills?
I will.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swiftly?
Yes.
Sorry. Council President Strauss?
Yes.
And Mayor Moore?
Yes. And lastly, as I mentioned in my report, and a couple other times probably, we have the introduction of an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County vacating and extinguishing the public rights to a portion of Washington Street between West Street and Center Street pursuant to NJSA 40A:40-67. As part of our redevelopment plan, long-standing redevelopment plan for the old municipal building in Annandale, we will be closing, as it gets closer and closer to being handed off, we'll be closing a portion of about roughly half of Washington Street between West Street and Center Street. All but 6 feet, once you dig into all the details, for various reasons of the road, will, because of underlying property rights, revert to the township. 6 feet will revert to the neighbor on the northerly side, 15 Center Street, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And once we adopt it, it'll take place in 20 days. It'll take effect. The road will be closed. We'll have to make sure nobody's driving on it anymore. And that'll allow us to move forward in this process and transfer the property to the developer in its entirety so that he can get started on cleaning the whole, that whole mess up, which has been long overdue. So.
Is he like ready to go after this? Is he like...
He's been ready to go. Well, let's put it this way. He's been willing to begin work for a while. However, we've got some administrative hoops, hurdles, and legal things to address.
More hoops
right on it.
Yeah. Some hiccups, some stumbles, but we'll get there.
We have to have the world's biggest groundbreaking.
Yeah. It's been a number of years in the State Historic Preservation Office. So we're very fortunate that they've been working with us and the developers have been working with us throughout this process. So, I will make the motion to introduce this ordinance, if I may have a second.
Thank you. Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. And without objection, I would like to set the public hearing for this for October 26th. The second meeting of October, there are some conflicts that may occur on the 12th that I would rather, I feel safer with having it. Yeah, well, that too, but I feel safer that date will happen. So, and it gives the clerk, honestly, with this particular one, time for notices, because there are some pretty specific notice requirements. All right. Very good. In that case, I will open up our final public comment session. Are there any members of the public who might wish to come and opine on anything? Or as somebody used to say, tell us how great we're doing? Okay. Need no motion.
I will take the opportunity, though, to thank our acting administrator, Bill Close, for a great job stepping in and really bringing everyone up to speed and getting us back on board. So I'm sure the mayor has made that to several times, but thank you.
Just a few. Mm-hmm. All right. In that case, Councilman Blazer, you have something urgent you'd like to tell.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetler?
Yes.
Council President Strauss?
Yes.
The mayor?
Yes. Very good. Thank you all for joining us this evening. It's a little bit fuller crowd than we're used to.
I guess I didn't use this. I thought it was empty.